going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yes, that line corns on the right, babe.
Yeah.
Not that Maggie.
Uh-huh.
Back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Yeah.
Chris McMartin.
Is it Monday? The Fan. McMonagle here with you on this Monday morning. Let's get the week started right. We got Fleegs on the other side. Your phone calls at 888-808-1019. We'll get to the baseball. Both teams struggling. The Mets in their first real struggle as they've lost six out of the last 10, and the Yankees with back-to-back series losses against the bottom of the division. And we'll get into Aaron Boone and his decision-making and you can guess where I'm going with that. But we're going to start with the biggest game of the season that we've been waiting for months. The game that really, that's true, maybe even years. Years! The game that we've been waiting for this Knicks team to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. To take on the big bad Boston Celtics, to take on the team that nobody believes they can beat, the defending champions, after a very difficult, hard-fought, physical series against the Detroit Pistons that everybody thinks they should have just glossed over with no issue whatsoever. The biggest series of our lives, the biggest series of Tom Thibodeau's life, the biggest series of Jalen Brunson's life, even after the heroics. Even after the heroics on Thursday night, as great as he is, and we all know how great he is, and I know there was a lot of discussion about best Knick of my lifetime and this and that. Let's just tell it like it is. He's an incredible player. The Knicks are incredibly lucky to have him. What he was when he got here and what he's become is outrageous. That shot is outrageous. His clutch is outrageous. His ability to hit these shots, everything about him, put the team on his back in the fourth quarter. He still needs to win one of these series. Whether it's this year, next year, we all know he's got to be in an Eastern Conference Finals. He's got to get to an NBA Finals. The Knicks need to come back being just relevant isn't good enough forever. This is where we are. This is why they made the trades for Karl Anthony Towns. This is why they brought in Mikal Bridges. This is why they changed the team that couldn't get past this point last year. And you can point to, well, that was because of injury, and that was because of this, and that was, whatever it was. 3 straight years of making it to this round and 3 straight years of going home. Or 2 straight years, rather. I'm sorry. The past 2 straight years of going home. Hopefully it's not the 3rd straight year going home now. But this is the series we've all been waiting for. This is the series that is going to, and we've been deciding on how it's going to make us feel about this Knick team and where this Knick franchise and team is with its coach, with its stars, with its trade acquisitions, with this roster. Who are they? And I know we're going to want to have this conversation about whether or not they can win. And that is such, like, I love these playoff series. I don't love the idea that we have to talk about the finality of it all the time. Like, I was annoyed the other night. I'm doing the show Friday morning, and we're talking about whether or not they can even stand a chance in this series. We didn't even get a chance to enjoy Thursday night in many ways because everything is predicated on this series and getting past the Boston Celtics. And I don't want to necessarily get in, can they win? Will, you know, is it even plausible? I don't know. They're heavy underdogs. It's the defending champs. The Boston Celtics are better than they are. I think we all agree with that. They're more talented than they are. They have more experience than they do. They have more players who have been successful in the postseason. They just won a championship, and they breeze through their series against Orlando, and they've owned the Knicks at every turn. We all know those to be facts, indisputable. No matter what you think about this team's chances and whether or not you think they can win this series, those are the facts. They're better, they're more experienced, they're defending champs, and they have kicked the living tar out of the Knicks every opportunity they've had. Those are just facts. And if the Knicks are going to make a series of this, if the Knicks are going to shock the world, and would it be the biggest shock in the world? I don't know, but it would shock the world. Nobody is expecting this Knick team to win this series. No one's expecting this Knick team to be in this series. No one is expecting this Knick team to even give a scare to the Boston Celtics. And that's why, for me, tonight, 7 o'clock, game one in Boston, it's hard. I don't want to call it a must win, but they must scare the Boston Celtics. There must be a feeling in this game that the Knicks are in this series and are a formidable opponent. And that's why, I mean, listen, to me, you want to win the series, win this game. Like, plain and simple, you want to win the series, you got to win. It's hard not to, they have to win one of these two, but when you jump out and start a series with a team that has owned you, a team that is so comfortable playing against you, with a team that has hit how many threes and won in blowouts, won in close games. They are very comfortable playing the New York Knicks. This is a series that not only does the rest of the world think they're going to win, the Boston Celtics are very comfortable in the idea they are going to win. And we saw it last night with the Pacers. You go in and take game one, suddenly the feeling around the entire series shifts, and there is enormous pressure on the Boston Celtics to win game two. Like, plain and simple. I know it's a 7-game series, and when we say must, especially game one, it seems silly, but I have to tell you, if the Knicks honestly want to win this game, win this series, this is the game that you come out, right? Off of the tough series that you just had, off of those moments you just had, off of the game-winning shot against the Pistons team that was impossible and played as best as they could possibly play, mucked up the game defensively, made it very tough on the Knicks, and yet the Knicks, in the fourth quarter of pretty much every game, found a way to come out with the victory. You have to parlay that into a game against the Boston Celtics, who have been on cruise control for how long? I mean, let's be honest, how long? You have got to go into Boston and put the fear of God in them. Because if this is another lackluster performance, if this is a game where the Celtics pull away in the fourth quarter, as they did so many times in the series against Orlando or so many times against the Knicks during the regular season, there is nothing to fear. The Knicks have to come out and put pressure on the Celtics. Plain and simple. And if you win this game, that's exactly what happens. And make no mistakes. If you win this game, you will start to hear that. Now, still, it doesn't guarantee them the series victory. They have to go win another three games. We get it. But you win this game, suddenly people are talking. Suddenly the Boston Celtics have a must-win game of their own in game two. If you want to upset, this is the game to go take. And it's got to be with a couple of different things. And I've said this a ton. To me, there's two specific things the Knicks need to do. And I said it kind of previewing the series on Friday morning. First and foremost, the most important thing to me, and we saw it a little bit with the Pistons series, despite how physical that series was, and despite how poor the Celtics, the Pistons shot from behind the arc, you cannot give as many good looks behind the three-point line as they did against Detroit, and certainly as many as they do when they play the Boston Celtics. I mean, this team is able to shoot. At most points in the game, everybody on the floor is able to shoot the three. Plain and simple, that's what the Boston Celtics do. We have seen games against the Knicks where they take 40, 50 three-point shots. And this Knicks team had been better about it since their defense has improved, since Mitch Robinson came back, and really, well, the star of the team, Brunson, was down. But that's the number one thing. The defensive wings that they have, Mikal Bridges, two-way player. OG Anunoby, one of the best defensive players in the NBA. They have got to be able to make three-point shooting tough on the Boston Celtics. Because I can tell you right now, we will learn about this series in the first half of Game 1. Like, I firmly believe it's one of those things. When you are talking about a massive undertaking, when you are talking about a huge underdog, when you are talking about the David and Goliaths, if it plays out that way for the first half and the open threes are there and the Celtics are hitting it, you will create an environment that is very similar to what we've seen. They need to shake something up. And it starts with not allowing easy three-pointers. You cannot allow the Celtics to play their game. You have to make it difficult for them. I don't think they're capable of playing the kind of smothering defense that the Pistons played against them, but they have to find a way to make things more difficult. They have to do better at fighting through screens. They have to do better at limiting open threes, because that has been what's killed them every time they played the Boston Celtics, bar none, every single time. And then the other one, which we're going to talk about a lot, is Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns has got to be more involved from the minute one of game one. This has got to be his series. And I know it'll always be Brunson's series, right? And I know it'll always be him in the end of the games. And if this game is close enough, lucky enough, where they want to have an opportunity to give Brunson the chance to, you know, do what he does in the fourth quarter, that's fine. And that's great. And we talked about it. The entire fourth quarter can't look the way it looked against the Pistons in game six. It just can't. That's not saying that I don't want the ball in Brunson's hands in the final moments, or I don't want him taking the big shot. Of course, but he's not going to be able to do this himself. And I know at times in the series against the Pistons, we did see some scoring from OG Anunoby. We saw games that Karl Anthony Towns was extremely important and made difficult shots and hit big shots down the stretch that led to wins. And, Mikal Bridges had his moments, especially in game six early on. Like, there have been moments that other guys have played throughout the series and been successful. But that has to be much more consistent, and it can't be that disappears for the second half of the fourth quarter. It can't be like that every single game. And Karl Anthony Towns, who's going to get an opportunity to play against guys who are undersized, like, that's a matchup that in this series, you know, Karl Anthony Towns wasn't brought here, you know, specifically because of the matchup necessarily against the Boston Celtics, but, like, he is here to get past this round. He is here to transform this Knicks team into something else where there's another superstar option. He is supposed to be the other guy who's a starter of the Eastern Conference All-Star game. Like, he's got to be that guy you can rely on for a lot of this game. If either Brunson's off the floor, Brunson's struggling, or the Celtics decide Brunson's not beating them. Those are all three possibilities, or that, you know, probably will happen in this series. And he has got to step up and be able to do it. And the coach has got to lean into it. I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of talk around Tibbs, and we're going to find out about him. We're going to find out about his ability to make offensive adjustments. We're going to find out a lot about Tibbs. Because this is where, like, and we have the conversation about, is he the coach to take them to the next round, like, or the next level? Is he just a program builder? Is he someone who could take a struggling franchise, a struggling team full of young, gritty kids, and turn it into something that can win 40 games, get into the playoffs, you know, much like Bickerstaff has done with the Pistons? Like, is that who he is, or is he something more? And the something more happens in these series. The Knicks and Celtics have squared off plenty. They know each other, and every game, save the last one, has gone in a very similar pattern. They allowed too many threes, and we're all complaining about where the hell was Karl Anthony Towns. That has happened in almost every single game that the Boston Celtics and the New York Knicks have played. That cannot happen game one. To me, they need, clearly, and you could say this, I heard, you know, Gordon, who was on before me, did a great job. I heard him saying this, you know, it's in every series. Every series, the road team has to take one. That's what we say. Road team has to take one of two. Need a split coming out of the first two games. And, of course, that falls into this category as well. The Knicks need to get one. But for me, game one is the opportunity, because how do you feel? How did you feel going in as a basketball fan, as a basketball observer? How did you feel about the chances the Pacers had against the Cleveland Cavaliers? I would say most everyone in this country, most every basketball fan, I'm sure you could find some who aren't, you know, Pacer fans, could tell you, oh, well, this presents a problem, and I could see the Pacers really, you know, getting an advantage in this department or that department. But ultimately, there's no way they're going to beat Cleveland. Well, how do you feel about them now? How quickly does that series change on a dime? Now, they have to go and follow it up with a Game 2 performance as well, but things can change. And what needs to change is not only what happens on the court, but what needs to change is what happens in the minds of the players. Because this thing, like, we've talked about it all the time. It happens. The 88 Dodgers against the Mets, right? The Mets had won every game against them in the regular season. Failure in the postseason. There's many examples of it. That's the most famous one that we talk about here. The Yankees and Indians, same thing in 2007. Yankees owned Cleveland during the regular season, then lost in the postseason. There's examples of it. But what needs to happen first is the team that has had the dominance over the other needs a moment of fear, needs a moment of actually thinking, wow, this is different than what it was. And so for me, I mean, listen, as we get ready for this series, there's a lot of keys to it. We'll get into them as we get across at 888-808-1019. And as the games are played, it'll continue to change and see what happens. But to start this series, this game tonight, the Knicks' effort needs to be through the roof to start this game. And the defensive effort, particularly on the perimeter, has to be far better than it's been against the Boston Celtics. You can't have the amount of threes taken and hit and as many good looks. You can't let Porzingis kill you. Like we saw in the last time they played, like, this needs to change. And not only do the results need to change, the mindset of the Knicks and specifically the Boston Celtics need to change. There has to be a moment where Boston has to be there. There has to be a moment where Boston is nervous. If they're not there for this moment, things can change. And that only happens if game one goes a certain way. Tonight is the biggest game of the Knicks' life. This is the biggest game as Knicks fans that we've been waiting for all year, maybe longer than that. This is the chance we get to see whether or not what Leon Rose and Tibbs have been doing, which is turning around the franchise, which is getting to the second round for three consecutive years, which is getting us at points during the regular season where we don't care, and Brunson's down and it doesn't matter. We know we're going to be the 3 or 4 seed. It's just a matter of how they play in the playoffs. We've gotten to a level of success with the New York Knicks, with Leon Rose, with Tom Thibodeau, and with Jalen Brunson, the likes of which we have not seen for 25 years. For 25 years. It's been all slowly building to this moment against the defending champs and the Boston Celtics. The move has been made. We could talk about this roster, and I know now there's discussion about Giannis and whether or not he's going to be available and what's going on there in Milwaukee or what other stars they could possibly get. No, I don't want Durant. Oh, I would. How could you not take Durant? Like, all the conversations that we'll have in the offseason, and I'm sure they'll be plentiful. I'll be totally honest with you. I don't see it happening. The moves have been made. They traded the first-round picks for the next half a decade. They've traded their best assets to get another superstar. The move has been made. This is the team. They've been building, they've been building, they've been building. This offseason, they finalized it, they crystallized it. They've put together the group that they're going to make a run with over the next handful of years. This is it. They've got their superstar. They've got their killer. They've got their assassin. They've got their game ender. They've got their closer. And they put around another big man superstar. They went and got an athletic wing, two-way player who is underachieved but has the talent. They put together a gritty group with guys like Mitch Robinson and obviously Hart. And this is the group. This is the team that if we want the Knicks to win a championship for the first time since the early 70s, this is the group that's going to have to do it. And to me, it even feels different than last year because they still had the picks. They still had their moves. Whether we like the Carl Anthony trade or not, I know many of you don't. Whatever the case is, this is the team. And this is the series. And quite honestly, this could be the game. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. So we'll open with the Knicks on the precipice of the biggest game of our lives. We'll get to the baseball, the Boone decision. The first real struggling, 10-game stretch for the Mets this year as they've now lost two consecutive series off a four-game split of Washington. So after that Philly sweep, they have now gone 4-6 over the last 10. The Yankees lose to the two bottom dwellers of a lousy American League East over the last 2 days. They've got more injuries piling up every single day, and of course the manager made a boneheaded decision in the eighth inning of the game yesterday that decided the fate of the New York Yankees.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Lynn likes the open floor, spinning, puts it up and banks it in. Yes. Sensational play for Jeremy Lynn.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Linsanity continues here at Madison Square Garden.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. All right, 127, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Big day. Been thinking about this game all week, man. All weekend, should I say. I was busy this weekend. I had my cousin's wedding right outside of Philadelphia. I forget the name of the town or whatever, but it was about 2 hours from my house. I know that, and I had to drive my whole family down there, which is always fun. My mother's great in the car. Oof. That's always a pleasure. I'm driving on the highway. I'll tell you a quick story. I'm driving before we get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Starting with this Big Knick game tonight. I'm driving in the car on the highway, doing like, I don't know, 65, 70 and a 65. And all of a sudden the car next to me, you know, pulls up past me. I was in the middle lane. All of a sudden a car comes on to the left of me to go, you know, on the fast lane going past me. And I don't know, but all of a sudden, you hear like this loud noise from the car next to me. And I almost hit the roof when my mom yelled, "Is that us?" And I'm like, "No, what? What is that noise? It's making me nervous." I'm like, "I don't know what it is. It's the guy next to me." And then he slowly back, he like hits on the brake and comes back. And in my rear view, I could see that somehow like a big piece of cardboard or something had gotten like sucked up just underneath his tires and it was dragging along the floor as he was driving. And he pulled over. I saw him eventually pull over I'm assuming to remove it. But all of a sudden this noise is pulling up to the left of me and my mother, I'm like, "It's more dangerous to scream in my ear, Mom. Relax. Is that us?" I'm like, "No, it's not us." Oh my God. For 2 hours. But that was about as exciting as it got. And then yesterday, I had my son's Holy Communion, his first Holy Communion. So we had people at the house. There's always the pressure with that. My wife, you know, everything's got to be perfect. We were up. I barely slept the night before because we were out, you know, at a wedding late and in the hotel and everything like that. We had to get up early, drive back Saturday, early baseball game with the kids. So I had to be in the car by like 8:45. To be back in time to be there for Tommy and Andrew's baseball game. So I didn't really get a lot of sleep. I'm falling asleep, and my wife is making balloons, like just tons of balloons that she's going to put on the railing. And she actually bought this like plastic strip with little holes in it that you put the balloons in to keep them like packed together. She made like 1,000 balloons, white, blue, gold, large size, medium size, small size. And then it's not only just putting the balloons in the hole. Now I've got to like, oh, I have too many. Like I'm trying to like separate the colors because God forbid I put two blues together. That's what I was doing. On a set, I could barely keep my eyes open. I said to her, I'm like, "I can't even have a conversation with you. I'm falling asleep." She's got the balloon machine and everything, pumping air. And then the party yesterday, I'm exhausted. One hell of a weekend.
Could you imagine if we had a Knicks game 7 against the Pistons thrown into there?
No, thank God we did not. Thank God we did not. Nobody needed that. It was going to be Saturday night, right? I mean, it would have been the night I would have been able to watch it, thankfully. It was the one. It would have been worse if it was Friday night. I was at this wedding. That was a disaster. And I've also had the conversation again. I'll present it to you. We've had this conversation before, but she had a Mr. Softy. My cousin had a Mr. Softy ice cream truck show up for like the sort of later part of the night. It was awesome. But when you have those thin chocolate cookies, not like a chocolate chip cookie, like those thin chocolate cookies that are like have those little rounded edges that look like if you were to draw a cloud or something, and there's two of them with ice cream in the middle, like a little circular thing. I call those flying saucers. I don't know, but my wife is on, she's been saying for years, it's been an argument. I've actually brought this up on the show before. She calls them cartwheels. And I'm like, I've never in my life heard anybody call them a cartwheel. And sure enough, the Mr. Softy truck comes up and she runs to the truck and points on the window. And sure enough, Mr. Softy calls them cartwheels. I have never heard cartwheel in my life. They have been flying saucers my entire life. And I've always poo-pooed it and I've laughed at her. I'm like, I don't know where you grew up. I don't know what you think. Those things are called flying saucers. I don't know if someone told you once somewhere that they're cartwheels and it stuck with you. I have never heard that. I don't know where you get that. And then she was in all her glory at the wedding, a little tipsy, and rubbed it in my face for about a half hour that Mr. Softy had cartwheels. So that was my weekend in a nutshell. All the time thinking about you and thinking about this Knicks series. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Bobby in Belmore. What's up, Bobby?
Hi, how are you?
Good, this how are you?
Good. Before I get to the Knicks, well, it has to do with the Knicks also. I wish it were finishing a fourth seed. I was telling people that Cleveland, I'm not saying the series is over, it's far from over.
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather play Cleveland in that second round. You're a paper tiger until proven otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have faced an easy opponent, Milwaukee. They would have won that series for probably 5 games. But let me get to the Knicks. Now, I totally agree with you. They got to get game one. You know, Boston's been off for a week. They're a little rusty. I think they got to get to a 6-8 point lead in the first half, and maybe Boston will be a little, it could have a chance of winning that game. If they're down with half, like by 8 or 10,
I agree. I think the first half of the first game, like, I know that's really, I don't even know what the word would be. I know that's preliminary to try and tell you that the first half of the first game can dictate the series, but I firmly believe that the first half of the first game is going to be telling. And if we see the same, if the Knicks go into the half down 13, 14 points, like this is not the Pistons, and you're not going to get as many stops. Like, that's the thing. Like, again, the Pistons play tough defense, and they might be able to score more than they did against the Pistons, but you are not going to get stops, and you cannot allow this to look the same way it's looked. Like, it's got to change.
And I think psychologically as well, I mean, the fact that they haven't beaten them, I think that, that has a lot to do with it. And I think that it actually hurts the Knicks that Cleveland lost this game, because that was going to wake up the Celtics, I think.
I hear what you're saying.
They could be complacent, you know, going into this game, you know, thinking, you know, that's just the way it is. They've owned the Knicks, so they might be a little complacent. And, now that, you know, Cleveland lost game one, that coach could be in their heads now. It could happen to us. So, I thought that, you know, with Holiday coming back, I don't think he's going to be, you know, 100%, even though they said he's healthy now.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't played in a while. You know, Brown, you know, has the bad knee. They said he's healthy now, but who knows? He hasn't looked that great against football. The Porzingis matchup with Towns is key. They might offset each other, and he's going to have to offset Porzingis. Knicks don't have a chance. He's been so inconsistent. He has a great game. He has a bit disappearing.
Yeah.
And Minnesota, like that last year, too, he played very well against Denver. And then next year was against Dallas. He was hanging out at the three-point line, you know, and what he did, you know, beginning of the Troy series. And, he's obviously the most important player for the Knicks. It's Towns. It's no doubt about it. And Bridges, you get what you get from Bridges. You know, I know he has to play better in the series. And defensively, I think it's more important, you know, to, I guess he'll be covering Brown.
I agree. I think you can make an argument as much as they, and thank you for the call, Bobby, as much as they rely on Bridges for scoring. I mean, you know, his mid-range game has been great all year. His three-point shot has not been there, except a couple of, you know, different. He's coming off his best game as a Knick, in my mind. You know, maybe, you know, you can go through the regular season and find a more productive game. But last, for me, game six against the Pistons, he gets the huge tip in, which to me is the biggest play of the game, bar none. That's the biggest play of the game. If the Pistons just rebound that basketball, the Knicks lose. If the last shot that that Brunson takes misses, they probably go to overtime, and I don't know what happens. They could lose. They could win. I feel very confident in saying if he doesn't tip that ball back in, they're losing that game. So, and I know you could probably say that about five or six different plays in the fourth quarter because it was so, you know, it's down 7 points with 2.5 left. But that one in particular, to me, is the biggest play of the game. He was efficient offensively. He has been playing pretty good defense all postseason. But yeah, against this particular team, as much as they've relied on his offense and really OG Anunoby's offense, and they'll need him to score, don't get me wrong, but their defense on the perimeter, and particularly with Bridges, like this year, I have not seen a physicality to his game. Right? I just haven't seen a physicality to his game. And we have seen time and time and time again, you know, dropping behind screens and not fighting through and creating too much space for this Celtic team that just hits too many damn threes. They are too good at shooting the three. You cannot allow this to happen. So I need him to step up his game defensively. And you could argue that, right? We talk about his game offensively and how important he can be. But to me, I need to see a more physical, determined defensive effort from Mikal Bridges than we have at times this year against the Boston Celtics. Now, I did see that against the Pistons. I thought, you know, he was in playoff mode. And obviously at the end of the game six with the "we were built for this" blank, you know, he's pumped up. And I have seen, you know, effort from him. I think you've seen effort from every player on the Knicks. But that's going to be a huge factor. Him and OG Anunoby have got to prevent open threes. And that's the problem with Brunson, right? We all love Brunson, no doubt. But him and, like, it's tough when your two best players, especially at the 1 and the 5, are weak defensively. And as much as we all love Brunson, you can't escape that fact. He's not a great defensive player. And neither is Karl Anthony Towns. But you do have Mitch to help down low and protect the rim, who I think is gonna who needs to play some minutes in the series. Because to me, the defense has to be at its best. You know, the offense, I'm looking for adjustments. I'm looking to get some ball movement. I'm looking to create a little bit and do some different things. But like defensively is where, because when they have lost to the Celtics, they can't stop them. They can't stop them offensively. The Celtics just blow right past them. The Celtics three them to death, and just absolutely the games are over in the second and third quarter because they just can't get stops. They can't allow offensive rebounds in the second. You know, it's a lot of it's cliched stuff, right? Play tough defense, you know. Play the D, shoot the three. I had a coach when I was 8 years old screamed that at me. So, and that's college basketball in particular, the tournament. Play the D, shoot the three. But, like, they can't allow second chance points, so the glass is going to be important. You have to get defensive rebounds. You got to stop open looks at three. They're going to take their threes. They're going to hit their threes. But you can't give them as many wide open looks as they've gotten against the Knicks. And Karl Anthony Towns has got to be a major factor. If the Knicks want to win this series, he is going to have to come away from almost every game feeling like, wow, there were times he was a force. Like he's capable of it. We've seen it. That's what they're going to need from him. And look, I know people get mad. Some people get disappointed when I put this on the coach because this is Tibbs. This is MO. I mean, excuse me. This is Cat. This is what we've seen in Minnesota. Yeah, we saw it with this coach. Tibbs coached him before, and there is no way in my mind, no way, that Rose makes this trade without the blessing of Tom Thibodeau. So to me, he knew what he was getting. He knows the kind of player he is. He's coached him before. It's up to coach of the team. It's up to Tibbs to get the best out of his players. That's what this is about. That's what coaching is. And he's got to find a way to get him involved early, and continue to use him. Like, it's on Tibbs. Now, it's on Carl Anthony Towns. It's all self-pressure. Like, he's got to be able to create himself. He's got to be able to want it. He's got to want to go do it. I get it. But to me, I want to see some offensive game planning where they actually get him the ball. Figure out a way. Get him the ball early. Get him involved. That's what I'm going to look for in the first half of this game, too. First half of game one, limit the threes. Get Carl Anthony Towns involved. I want Carl Anthony Towns to have more than 15 points in the first half. You want to tell me to feel good about this game? I'll tell you right now, halftime of this game, and I'll tweet it out. Halftime of this game, I need a game within 5 points and Carl Anthony Towns to have 15. That's what I want to see. And I'll take, 3-point shooting percentage of the Celtics under 30%, but that's probably asking a lot. But I want to see a lower than average 3-point shooting percentage from the Celtics. I want to see Carl Anthony Towns have at least 15 points and the game have to be within 5 points. Like, they can't be down 15. They can't be run out of the gym with 3-point shots, and Carl Anthony Towns can't have 4 points and zero foul shots. Like, that's going to be a bad sign for me. If that's how the first half goes, that is going to be a bad sign for me.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 147. What's going on? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, back for another week, and hopefully a nice long Knicks-Celtics series. That'd be nice. We had no, obviously, playoff hockey, although they're not here in this town, but last night, incredible finish to the Blues-Winnipeg Jets game. Game 7, NHL playoffs, there's nothing better. But the Blues are leading 3-1 on the road. 3-1 on the road in Game 7 last night. The Jets tie the game with, what was it, less than 3 seconds? And then win it in double overtime. I mean, that is as heartbreaking a loss. Can you imagine? That's a tough one. To being 3 seconds away from moving on, only to see it slip away, and then lose it in double overtime. And obviously, exciting victory for the Jets in front of their home crowd in Winnipeg. Maybe a Canadian team will get back to the Stanley Cup Finals. But it won't be in New York, although they did hire Sullivan, which is a great move as a coach. There were some reports, the Rangers, that is. Obviously, Mike Sullivan is the next head coach of the New York Rangers. It's as good a hire as you could possibly have. There were some reports early that maybe Tortorella was going to join the staff. It sounds like that is not going to happen. But, I mean, this is a guy who knows that there was an assistant coach for a long time. He's won 2 Stanley Cup championships with the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's about as good a head coach hire as you could possibly have. And, you know, there was a little bit of a narrative that I don't know what kind of coach or who would want to join this organization with Chris Drury. And it sounds like he was more than happy to come back home. He was a longtime assistant here. I think that's about as good a coach as you could possibly have. I know we talk about a lot of retreads in the NHL. Although, you know, we've seen the retreads who've won Stanley Cup, right? I would consider Tort a retread. Tortorella, he's won a Stanley Cup with Tampa Bay. Obviously, Peter Laviolette, we called a retread. He had won a Stanley Cup with Carolina. So, I mean, just winning doesn't mean you're not a retread, but it feels like off of the long run and successful run with 2 championships in Pittsburgh, I mean, you've got one of the better coaches in the NHL coming back to run the team. Now, we'll find out whether or not, and he's good with star players. A lot of hit, you know, he's got a lot of time with Crosby and Malkin. So, I mean, he's got a veteran-laden team, or at least he had in Pittsburgh. That's kind of what they've gotten here. They got some young players, don't get me wrong, but it's managing the stars. It's managing Zibanejad. It's the decision on Chris Kreider, and we'll see what happens. But this is as good a hire as you could have, and we'll see how quickly the Rangers can turn around their fortunes off of one of the more disastrous, disgusting, ugly, hard-to-watch, miserable effort seasons we have seen from that team in a long time. So we'll see, but hopefully we have a nice long series with the Knicks and Celtics. And I firmly, listen, I know we want to, like, do I think the Knicks are going to win this series? No, I don't. I don't think anybody does. But I'm so tired of hearing they can't. Like, anything can happen. The Pistons, the Celtics aren't unbeatable. They're very good. They're very good. And this Knicks team has not been that. And I know, you know, it's tough. I had the same feeling. Like, I tried to banish it the other night when I did the show Friday morning. I didn't want to take calls on previewing the Celtics series. There's a reason, because it's a bummer. I mean, it was a bummer coming off of that win to jump right into a Celtics series that nobody thinks they can win was a bummer. I wanted to ride high for a night. I wanted to enjoy that shot. I wanted to enjoy what Brunson has become. And that moment and that comeback. I wanted to enjoy it. I didn't want to have to preview the Celtics series because, yeah, it's mismatches all over the place. They're more talented. They're deeper. I mean, they're top two. As great as Brunson is, they're top two or better than the top two of the New York Knicks. Like, their best players are better. Their worst players are better. They have the ability. They have the proven ability to win. They've won a championship last year. This is a tough game. This is a tough series. But for me, this is like what this game Monday will dictate the series. This game tonight dictates the series. And the style of play and what it looks like is going to dictate the series. Because I can tell you right now, like, if you want to buck the trend, game one can't look like the trend. Like, bucking the trend has to start immediately. They're not going to be able to buck the trend three games into the series. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to be down 0-2 and give me the same crap about, hey, it's not a series until the home team loses the game. Nonsense. They go back to the Garden 0-2, and it looks similar to the regular season. They're not changing that then. They're not. They might even win a game. They might win a game at the Garden. But if game one looks like every game of the regular season, I have no confidence that they'll be able to change it. This is the game to change it. This is the game to go out there and set the tone for the series. And if they're incapable of doing it, they're just incapable of doing it. Let's get to Alessandro in Sycamore Park. What's up, Alessandro?
Yeah, I think it's a really good hire, the Sullivan deal. But what do you think the Rangers can do, you know, given the fact that you have issues with some of the players that didn't play well, like Kreider, Zibanejad, Panarin, Shesterkin? What can they do to transform, you know, are they going to deal some of them? Are they going to...
Yeah.
What's the plan? Because they had a horrible season.
Yeah, horrible season.
You know, given, you know, the last time this happened where they went from President Trophy winner to...
You nailed it, 1994. The next year they won the Stanley Cup.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but, you know, what can we look for in free agency or trades? I know it's a little premature early, but, yeah, you know, maybe what about Fox and Miller?
Yeah, I mean, Fox has been, as you could put him right at the top of the list of disappointments. Thank you for the call, Alessandro. You could put Fox right at the top of the list of disappointments. This was a kid who was ascending to being one of the better offensive defensemen in the game. And he just was not that this year. He's really regressed. He is not, I don't even know if regress is the right word. It probably is, but he certainly hasn't continued to progress. That is for sure. The progression to becoming what we hoped he would become has completely halted. And, like, I'll be honest with you, I think Chris Drury is an active guy. Last year, he didn't have much of an opportunity. He did some moves, and really, the problem wasn't even the moves, necessarily. The real criticism comes from the way he handled the moves. The way he got rid of the captain, the way he did some of the things he did. It wasn't like, I think most people understood the reasoning behind what was going on, but it just felt like he handled it extremely poor and set a bad tone for the season with the players who felt like there was no loyalty and there was no taking care of guys who've done a lot for them and there was no doing right by them even if they were going to be removed. And what can we expect in this offseason? I would expect movement, but I don't know. And it is true, the last time that the Rangers won the President's Trophy and then followed it up with a non-playoff season was the 92 team that won the President's Trophy. The 93 team did not make the playoffs, and then 94 went on to win the Stanley Cup. Now, do I see that for this team? No, I do not. But I think they're in the process. They just hired a damn good head coach. Like, this is, I don't think this is going to be a one and done. I don't think this is going to be a two and done. Like, this is it. And Drury certainly, as much as, you know, I think Drury has done a decent enough job. I have to be honest. Like, I know a lot of fans hate him. A lot of fans think he's done a miserable job. I mean, they've won a lot. I know this year they didn't, but they've been in two Eastern Conference Finals over the last 4 years. It's not a disaster. They've won a lot. They've been in a lot of playoff games. They won the President's Trophy. I mean, I know we don't. I know in this new day and age, we don't care about regular seasons. I understand that. But they did have one of the best. They had a great regular season a couple years ago and went to the Eastern Conference Finals. So as I still don't think that, I think this is the last coach Drury gets to hire, though, I would think. And I think this, I would think Sullivan's going to be around for a while. I do not view him as a, hey, we've got a veteran team here. Gallant just, it just didn't seem right. It wasn't fitting. The players didn't love him. We'll try Peter Laviolette. Oh, Laviolette fell apart. Like, I think this is the obviously a long haul hire. You're trying to have him build a culture here and set up what he did in Pittsburgh. So I think you're looking at a long-term stay for Sullivan. Obviously got the richest deal. I believe it was the richest coaching deal in the history of the NHL. It was close to it. He got a ton of money, and rightfully so. He's a two-time champion. But we'll see. I don't know, but it's a good hire. And right now we're in the middle of the NHL playoffs, which has been exciting. I think the NBA playoffs has been pretty good too. It was a lousy Game 7, but they had a Game 7. Typically these first round series don't come with all that much buzz, but I think the Knicks Pistons gave them a bunch of buzz. Obviously the Denver and Clippers series, and then obviously what we saw with Golden State and Houston. So it's been a good playoff series so far. It's been a good playoff for both the NHL and the NBA, and we'll see if the Knicks can continue that.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.